You think about the lines in that song.
Are we coming to God today with open hearts? Allowing the ancient words that we see in the text to transform us, to change us, to manipulate us in such a way through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are compelled to be transformed. That's what it means to truly seek God's face, is to come to Him and say, God, I'm open. Change me. Change me, O Lord. Tim Challis is the pastor of Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Canada, and he set out on a bit of a truth and rumor expedition. You see, he had heard specifically from his colleague John MacArthur in his book Reckless Faith that John used an analogy for identifying your faith and identifying Jesus, and he uses the analogy of counterfeit money. And that the method by which federal agents, bank staff, etc., the way that they are trained to identify counterfeit currency is to study meticulously the authentic bills. To actually go through and examine over and over again authentic currency. Well, Pastor Challis didn't want to necessarily just take John MacArthur's word for this. So he set out to see if this is actually true. So he contacted the Bank of Canada. And after going through many, many bureaucratic offices, many, many phone calls, being a little bit annoying to the Bank of Canada, he was finally able to get in contact with a national expert in Canada on identifying counterfeit currency. So he began this expedition under strict security. They all understood exactly why he was trying to find out this information. He wasn't a counterfeiter. He had to sign away many different things in order to do this. And what he found out was John MacArthur was actually correct. That the way to identify counterfeit currency is not to look and examine the counterfeit, but it is actually to look at and to examine the authentic. That there's characteristics of currency that is necessarily difficult to reproduce. And as the pastor was taken through with this national agent, what he found was that it came down to two things: touching and looking. A repeated process of examining the authentic, of touching the authentic currency. That was one of the first things, is as he touched it, he said, this just doesn't feel right. The reason we begin with this analogy and the escapades of Pastor Challis today is because it helps us to develop a metaphor for understanding and studying 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. How do you identify the authentic Jesus? Are there counterfeit Jesus that are being peddled in our world today? This is an issue that plagued the early church, and it's not a circumstance that's foreign to us, that we continually have to fight the fight of faith to seek the authentic Jesus. That there are charlatans out there that will present a counterfeit Jesus to us. And in order to know the authentic Jesus, we need to know the markings of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To know what He actually looks like. To actually touch Him and experience Him. Throughout the text of 1 John, we see this constant theme of the beloved apostle, this idea centered in the process of identification of ourselves as children of God. That there are these inherent traits, these qualities, peculiarities, if you will, of us as children of God that is separate from the rest of the world. At the beginning of chapter 4, we see this theme repeated again. But this time it's expressed in the idea of the spiritual realm. And actually focuses on the messenger of the word, not necessarily our characteristics, the message that separates us from the rest of the world, from those who speak truthfully about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and those who speak falsely, that there's a line of identification that separates us. Let's hear the word of our Lord this morning, studying in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how you recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray. Father, as we examine your word this morning, as we study it, as we come with open hearts, ready to hear the ancient word of God, we pray in Jesus' name that we would handle it rightly. That you would guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit to know truthfully what is the word of God with all confidence, with all assurance of faith. Father, help me to present Jesus truthfully today. That you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would direct us by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The community of faith in 1 John was asked to identify the real Spirit of God so as to recognize the counterfeit spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist. In the realest sense, if we are speaking for God or against God, the common denominator that comes down to these two things, are we speaking truthfully about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit? Or is the world speaking against God through that which opposes Jesus, namely the Antichrist? What John appeals to us here today in this text is quite simply to test the messenger. Test the authenticity of the messenger and their message. Look for the authentic in order to identify the fraud. There are many who claim to be indwelt by God. Many who say they speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, but do so speaking falsely. And what we see in our text today is that not everyone claiming to speak in the name of Jesus Christ actually does. That we are actually to test the Spirit, that there is a means of evaluating the utterances of anybody who says that they speak in the name of the Lord. In our hinge verse, the center of the message that we have as we look at 1 John chapter 4 is that we can verify the authenticity of the message centered in verses 2 and 3. A repeated phrase that happens twice. Every spirit that confesses Jesus the Christ. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ. It's repeated twice. It is the authenticity of the message of Jesus Christ that is the real issue. those that testify falsely about Jesus or flat out reject him, speaking against him, are of the Antichrist. Those that confess the authentic Jesus and the power of the Spirit are from God. Now, frankly, I would say that those that speak falsely, those that speak out completely against Jesus, who reject him, for me, that's a little bit easier to deal with. I can identify those people that say no to Jesus. It's where it becomes difficult when you have people that are actually speaking in Jesus' name, but are speaking falsely, that are deceiving people, that there are cults that call themselves Christian, that speak in the name of Jesus, that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, that speak falsely against him. Well, friends, they speak in the spirit of the Antichrist. There are some identifying markers that we see in 1 John chapter 4 as we continue in this treatise of the Christian faith. That as we see that the good life that all men truly seek, whether they recognize it or not, is life in Jesus. That they seek a life even insofar that they will speak falsely about Jesus in order to gain that real life. And they do it to their own peril. But there are some identifying markers that we see in the authentic Jesus from 1 John this morning. One of the first tests that we see is that the authentic Jesus was fully man. One of the critical problems that the church was facing when John writes this text is a bit of an inverse problem than what we face today. The criterion for testing the spirits is every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. To acknowledge Jesus Christ incarnate, Word became flesh, is to acknowledge his divinity and his humanity. Jesus Christ is both fully divine because he comes from God and shares in the essence of God, and he's also fully man. And for us, many of us, this seems obvious. But in the first century church, this wasn't so. John repeats this criterion negatively. He says, "But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." One of the great debates in the first century church was the issue of docetism, denying that Jesus was fully human, an early form of Gnosticism, that Jesus' physical body was not real, but it was only an illusion, that the crucifixion was merely an illusion as well, that Jesus only seemed to have a physical body, but in reality, he had no physical body, but he was only spirit. And that when we see the Word became flesh, that's actually figurative language. One docetic school held that the Christ Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism and that left him again at the crucifixion. Well, all of this is false. This is false teaching. Here's the problem with that. If Jesus is not fully human, it would be impossible for him to identify with us. If he is only fully divine, then how could he have died? His death would be meaningless. By denying his humanity, Christ has no right to stand before the judge on our behalf. And if he can't stand before the judge on our behalf, then, friends, we are still in our sins. There's no victory over death. The problem of sin still remains. and we are still separated from God if he is not fully man, did not die a human death for our sins. If this is the case, then we throw out Hebrews 4:15, which says that Jesus was sympathetic, not empathetic, but sympathetic to our weaknesses, tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. A defining mark of the authentic Jesus is his humanity. This is why John makes this a mark of the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came in the flesh. But not only is Jesus fully man, we see that Jesus is fully God, fully divine. The reason I refer to this as an inverted problem in our modern context is because for most people, grasping that Jesus was a human being isn't necessarily that hard. It's not the pervading issue. Sure, there's scholarly and philosophical schools that still continue in docetic thinking, but the everyday run-of-the-mill person, most of them will say, yeah, there's this guy, Jesus, and what do they say about him? He's a good moral teacher. So you have this struggle that exists now in our modern context. Did God come in the form of man? And can this man who claimed to be God be trusted? In our modern context, we tend to have to answer for the latter. And one of the greatest quotes to this end comes from C.S. Lewis in his work Mere Christianity. Lewis says this: I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. In other words, for Lewis, in understanding this, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Son of God. And you must make the choice on those three. And our claim as believers in the Most High God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that he places within us, is that unequivocally, irrevocably, undeniably, that Jesus is God. We hold with the Apostle Paul from Colossians 2:9, in which he says that in Jesus the fullness of deity dwells bodily. In that one verse, we actually see this coming together of the fact that Jesus is fully human, but yet also fully God. The authentic Jesus is man. The authentic Jesus is God. And when you bring those two together in a non-believing world with a message about the counterfeit Jesus, you actually see the third authentic mark of Jesus, the authentic Jesus, is that he is offensive. It's this complete truth about Jesus that becomes offensive to the world. It's the Jesus who endures on behalf of the world as a man, but also the Jesus that demands something from the world, being fully God. Friends, one of the fatal flaws in the church's attempt to reach the world is to present a watered-down Jesus. The Jesus of nicety. And we know this Jesus that we're talking about. It's the, you know, we get this image of the artist rendering of the nice, light-haired Jesus, blue eyes, robed in white, carrying a lamb, little white, you know, aura of light behind his head. It's the nice Jesus. You know, don't step on the flowers. We don't, that Jesus wouldn't step on the flowers. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. People like that Jesus. People like that God is love. I like that God is love. Here's the Jesus that people don't like. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. Mark 11:15. People don't like that Jesus. We really don't like a Jesus that gets angry, that actually doesn't like sin. People don't like this Jesus either. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Matthew 19:21. Really? Go sell everything? People don't like that Jesus. They don't like a Jesus that says, I actually have to give things up, sacrifice for his name, not be mastered by possessions. They certainly don't like this Jesus, the Jesus that Chris alluded to earlier. For if you give others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. Now wait a second. Jesus wouldn't want me to forgive that person. You have no idea what they've done to me. I always find this an interesting argument for the counterfeit Jesus. Jesus wouldn't expect me to forgive that person. He'll deal with them. I praise God every single day that with every pounding of the nail into his flesh, with every crack of the flagellum, with the spear going into his side, for the sins that I committed, because it's my sin that held him there. It is our sin that held him there. I am so thankful that Jesus didn't say, no. Not Danny, Father. I mean, we can't forgive Danny. Don't you see what he's doing to me? We can forgive anybody else, but don't ask me to forgive him. I am glad that Jesus didn't say that about me, that my sins are paid for. People don't like that Jesus. That Jesus is offensive, that says forgive sin. And my personal favorite. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. Really? Take up the instrument of destruction? You know, we have this idea, and obviously I haven't been to the right evangelism schools, because you can't say these things to people. You have to tell people, receive Jesus into your heart. The last I checked, Jesus wasn't a celestial prom date just waiting to be asked. I would rather say, surrender to Jesus. Ask him to transform your heart. Ask him to reveal your sin to you. And I'm confident that God will answer that prayer. Lastly, the authentic Jesus overcomes the world. That the ministry that we have in Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. That God doesn't save us so that we can go to heaven where pizza's not fattening and Disneyland's free. That he saves us to reconcile us back to God, to bring us back into fellowship with him. that in all of this, as Jesus overcomes the world, that we share in the triumph, that we share in the victory through the power of His resurrection. That as Jesus is risen, we have the assurance of faith that we also will be raised with Him, justified and glorified, as Romans 8:30 says. And the reason that you will know, how you will know, and how this ties in with knowing the counterfeit Jesus, is that as Jesus says in Matthew 10:24-25, you're not above your master. If they call me Beelzebul, how much more are they going to call you? The real Jesus offends people. He offends the world that He overcomes. The reason that John says that He has overcome the world is because there is a world to be overcome. But Jesus says that we share in that triumph. John says that to us here. And as we know the authentic Jesus, there is nothing in this world that can victoriously come against us. So now that we know the markers of that, how do we recognize Him? How do we recognize the authentic Jesus? First, we take examples from our friends north of the border. We examine the authentic Jesus. How do we examine the authentic Jesus? Where do we find Him? In the Word of God. We find the authentic Jesus in the Word of God. One of the pervading problems in the modern church is that we read more books about the Bible than we do actually read the Bible. That there are actually writers on Christian bookshelves that speak falsely about Jesus. And we would be warned to always test them to see if their message is authentic. But more than that, we read the Word of God. Paul says in Philippians 3:8-11, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, that by all means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Knowing the authentic Jesus means examining Him. To truly see Him every single day of our lives so that we can spot the fraud. We can spot the phony message of Jesus Christ. Second is to touch the real Jesus. To touch the real Jesus means to experience Him. To allow His power to be lived out as fellow heirs with Him. To touch Jesus means to experience Him with the fellowship of the faith. When ministry happens in the community of faith, as we live it out, we are seeing and touching the authentic Jesus. When you are doing the work of the ministry in people's lives, that you are actually being transformative and being used by the power of the Spirit to transform others. And as an extension of that, we reach out to a non-believing world. Paul also said in Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to the household of faith. That our gifts and our works happen first in the context of our church family, growing together, which ends up compelling us as a body of Christ to go out and reach a lost world. We examine Jesus. We touch Jesus. And then finally, we share the authentic Jesus with others. This is our going out. The experience of the authentic Jesus ought to compel us to go out and speak, Jesus is Lord. I've heard it said before that I share my faith daily, and sometimes I actually use words. Well, friends, I don't want to discount the living testimony that we are in Jesus to a non-believing world. We need to, as part of being ambassadors of Christ, we need to live in the will of God. But friends, for me to think that if Christ's perfect holiness wasn't enough, if he actually had to use words, I would be arrogant to think that my holiness would be compelling enough to lead someone to Christ. But as we come together, as we examine the authentic Jesus, as we experience him in our lives, evangelism becomes reflexive. It's not something that we do, it's something that we are. Because there's this dynamic that happens in our life that this Jesus is so awesome, so amazing, so compelling, that you cannot help but cry out, Jesus is Lord. That's what the authentic Jesus does in the life of a believer. And it's the confidence that we have in our Savior that we actually see in the very last verse, the sovereignty of God and the call to evangelism all rolled into one. As he says, whoever knows God will listen to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. The key is to listen. What is implied in listening? That we are speaking, that we are imparting the Word of God to people. We don't have to figure out who's going to say yes to Jesus and who's going to say no to Jesus, because we will simply know according to this text. All we have to worry about is keep speaking. Keep talking over the voices of the counterfeit Jesus people, so that their voices are drowned out by the people that speak truthfully about the authentic Jesus. That's our call. For us to identify the counterfeits, we must be able to identify the authentic in our lives. We must know the authentic Jesus inside and out. Know the authentic markers of Jesus Christ, his humanity, his deity, his resurrection, his overcoming the world, and partake with him in that as a fellow overcomer, sharing in his triumph, victorious over the world. You cannot lose the fight of faith when you know the authentic Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we desire to know you truly through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, examine our hearts today and show us where we have been deceived. But also give us the confidence in knowing that we can, in fact, know the authentic Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible that we read about, who died for our sins, was fully God and fully man. Father, give us the desire by the power of your Spirit to truly know him. To not just know things about him. To not just know what others tell us about him. But to truly know and experience the authentic Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have presented him to us fully in your word. And give us full recognition of him through the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.